Hi again, Mike O'Connor, Sex and Podcasting. Bits are brought to you by IP House up here in Minneapolis. Today we're going to talk about my life on the iTunes Top 100. Since I think I've reached the peak, I made it up to 35 and now I'm on the decline. And so before I totally fall off, I thought I would tell you what I know. And mostly this is a how-to show for those of you who are into community podcasting. You know, the big money people, they know all this stuff, but you probably don't. So this is a few lessons learned and some tips and techniques. I was going to fit some more stuff in, but it got too big. So I've got a whole bunch of iTunes podcasts to do. This is the first of at least three. And it's still all about attention, that theme that we started last week is continuing on. This is tips on how to get attention just within iTunes, just things you can do to get your show more visible. This isn't so much so that you can hit the top 100, but more so that if you want to reach your super narrow interest group with your community podcast, all of these things will help you do that. For those of you who want to hit the top 100, well, that's a different guy. I'm not your guy for that. I got there because I'm lucky. It's always better to be lucky than smart. And in this particular case, the first suggestion I have for you is if you want to get on the iTunes Top 100, make sure that you start your show name off with the word sex. So, I don't know, sex and farming or sex and weaving, you know, whatever. That when iTunes first lit up, that was the thing that got people's attention. Because I had the word sex and then had it in both the description of the show and the title of the show, I was the number one ranked relevance for sex when people typed that keyword in, and I'm sure that's why I got a bunch of subscriptions. So anyway, for sure, put sex in the title of your show. Another thing that happened to me is that a couple of days in, suddenly my show, which doesn't have anything to do with sex, was mysteriously and instantly disappeared from iTunes. Richard came upstairs and said, "Dad, your show's gone." And I said, "No, it's not. I'm still there." And I went and searched, and sure enough, I was gone. And the next morning, I was back, and I had explicit tags on the show. And this was before I had gained control of those. It was completely the hands of the mysterious workings of iTunes folks. And subscription skyrocketed at that point, too. So there's another suggestion, and actually this is a little less tongue-in-cheek. I think one of the reasons that the explicit tags actually help you get subscriptions is because when your show is listed in a huge undifferentiated list, that little red explicit tag actually does get people's attention. It stops their eye just for a fraction of a second on your show. And that's often enough to get people to actually read what's going on instead of just scanning by. So I've toggled the explicit tags on and off a few times, and every time I turn it off, subscriptions go down, and every time I turn it back on, they go up. Go figure. Another probably more useful thing to do is the iTunes tags, the specific stuff for iTunes in RSS feeds, supports keywords, and they're different than the keywords that you might have everywhere else. So learn how to do keywords for sure and stick those in. Lots and lots of good keywords is basically the way that the people who practice the voodoo of, quote, website optimization, unquote. That's really all they're doing, is making sure that the words in the text of your web page and your description and the keywords all line up. And Google's search engine likes that a lot and puts you higher in the rankings. Clearly, iTunes search engine also likes to have a word appear in the title, the description, and the keywords. That gets you a really high relevance score in iTunes. So there's another little tip for you. Another thing that's in the iTunes version of RSS feeds is categories. You may think that you can only put yourself in one category, but in fact you can put yourself in five. So for example, sex and podcasting is still in the health, sexuality category, but it's also in public radio and technology podcasting and stuff like that. So again, if you're not taking advantage of those, you should, because that'll help people find you. Another thing that people are doing, myself included, is sometimes people don't rank their search by relevance. They rank it alphabetically. And sex and podcasting isn't a real good name for an alphabetical list. It's way down there with the S's. So I put a dash and a space at the front of the description of my show. And that puts me up near the top of most alphabetical listings. That's now starting to get absurd, of course, because other people are figuring that out. And so you're seeing folks with like 10 dashes and then AAA Acme podcast and stuff like that. It's just like the phone book. But that's a pretty cool game to play. And then, you know, the final thing is that one of the things I discovered a few shows back is that a lot of people were downloading a podcast that I did about making stuff. You may recall, I got pretty hysterical about that. And I was thinking, God, everybody really wants to learn how to make podcasts. So I did a whole podcasting 101 series of podcasts and then discovered that really what's going on is that when iTunes presents your podcast in search results and you double-click on the show, iTunes plays a sample show so that people can get a sense of, you know, what's going on. Well, interestingly enough, they play the last show in the RSS feed that you're presenting. So your oldest show is the one that's getting presented as the sample to people when they listen in the search results. And it turned out that the oldest show in my RSS feed was that one about making podcasts. And so I got just clobbered on my server. I was getting 10 times as many hits on that show as any other, and the reason had nothing to do with how good the show was. It had everything to do with the fact that it was at the last of the list. So that's important, because if you have a good show in that slot, people will like what they hear and they'll subscribe. If you have a clunker, and I confess to having some clunkers, they'll hear that clunker and they'll go, well, I'm not so interested in that show. It's pretty boring, so I don't think I'll subscribe. And I did fool around with that just a little bit, tested that theory, and it had a dramatic impact on the number of subscribers. So that's sort of the final tip for you community podcasters, is make sure that you have a really good show as the last show in your RSS feed, so that when the sample comes, it's one that attracts people's attention. Now, I had a whole bunch to say about movements in the ranking, but I'm out of time, and so I'm going to do another show in this. This one's actually already a little too long. And so I've got at least two more getting attention in iTunes shows in me. And then we'll move on from there. Well, at this point in these shows, I went on to play a tune of some sort, but I've let the license to play those tunes expire. So I had to edit them out. And the other thing is that these shows are in mothballs now. I kind of ran out of stuff to say about community podcasting, so I've moved on to GeezerCast, which gives me a lot more room to maneuver. GeezerCast is a podcast to my unborn grandchildren, and if you're liking these, you might like those too. And join me over there at geezercast.com. Anyway, that wraps this show up. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you the next time.